bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people, if you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. You can always stream and watch us live, especially today on YouTube at 1017thetruth.com. Just scroll down and click Watch Live and make sure you subscribe and hit the notification bell so you never miss a minute of the show. I had a weird thought today, and I acted on it, and I expected like one person to respond. And everybody responded. So I think we're going to have a great time. We're going to have a good time. So here's what struck me. So I was listening to a podcast, Media Buzz Meter, today. And they said in passing that ESPN didn't cover the FBI news conference about the NBA. And I'm thinking that's probably something that should be covered by every major news outlet in the world. So anyway, so I kind of had a pretty much a visceral reaction. I was pretty emotional, like, what? I cannot believe this. So what I did is I made some phone calls. I've got some teammates in the studio from various places throughout the building here at Good Karma Brands. I've got Glenn Pierce, producer, all-around rainmaker, sports maven, because I don't know jack about sports.
Is that New York's finest? Like,
yeah, that's New York's finest. I'm trying to figure out lacrosse, okay? So come on. I'm trying to catch up. I'm trying to catch up. So that's why he's here. He's got all the dates and figures and names and all that stuff. I got Mike Spaulding. You know who he is. He's the, let me see, news anchor, then assistant news director, then news director, then content director. Yep. We'll just call him teammate.
Thank you. But fellow Illinois State University
graduate.
That's
what I was about to say. But he's a Redbird through and through. That's the most important thing we have here. Jessica Tai, whose name I just figured out how to say today because I could.
Is so funny, Dr. Ken? I almost said before this. Now, you know what? It's Jessica Tai, like tie your shoes, because I never want to assume that anyone. Wow. I mean, it's a big building with a lot of people in it, right? And I know a lot of people know, but you never want to assume. So I love that you just jumped in and said that.
Well, I'm bad at names, like really, really bad at names. So
I'm better with faces, too, than
my
names.
My apologies. Yeah, but your face looks better than mine, so I remember yours before. we got a couple of good-looking faces in here, and then you got us, so, you know. She's a host, journalist, teammate from Wisconsin's Midday News, heard weekdays from noon till 3 when I'm usually asleep, on Sister Station 620 WTMJ. My only question about Jessica, do you ever stop working? I have never seen you, like, not with a computer in your hand and ripping and running and – I'll be right there. You're starting at 4, right? Okay, I got to run in here. And I'm like, she's like that every day.
My husband asks the same thing. Is that a good answer?
You know, there was a study out about fast walkers. And so you know how you see people and they'll walk past the window and you'll go to say hello and you'll say something. And I look back and she's gone. I'm like, how'd she get from back there to pass? That's just how she is.
Gotta go.
And then, of course, we got Tiff Pua. She'll correct me every time I say something because I always get it wrong. She's a news director and a journalist on our sister station, 620 WTMJ. All around scary teammate because she scares me. She does.
She scares me.
Well, she has a two-word vocabulary, yes and no.
Pretty much.
So when you ask her a question, she says yes. Then, you know, you got some work to do. If she says no, you got work to do. So you just got to, yeah. So if you don't want to do work, don't call Tiff.
Nope.
Right? If you don't want to know everything about a football, just don't ask Glenn.
You killed me.
I mean, all of you all have your own little idiosyncratic ways about journalism and all that stuff. And that's why I wanted to ask you. It made me think about this, but then Milwaukee News, you know, I've been a PIO before where stories just didn't make the news. And I'm going, why didn't it? Now, this is, I think, before everybody's time. Back in the 90s, there was a homicide where the person, well, no, it wasn't a homicide. They said it was a suicide. And I was trying to figure out how a suicide could be where a person got shot in the back of the head and the gun fell underneath the car, underneath the driver's seat. Mm. I've never seen that happen, like ever. But, you know, those type of things, but yet it never made the news. And so I want to talk some about how we choose things. I mean, using ESPN as an example. ESPN is a fairly large news. Well, can you call them news? Can you?
Sports news.
Sports news. I would expect when the FBI did their news conference, and you have every sport known to man on there, you would cover it.
They didn't cover it
live.
Or they didn't cover the whole, they didn't dip into the whole news conference?
In my understanding, when it came out live and they put out all the information, they didn't cover it.
Correct. Yeah, they did not air it live.
Right. And I'm thinking, you would think that would be something that's fairly important. I mean, is it common? I mean, why? Would it impact their product? Would it, you know, upset some people? So I'm gonna start with Tiff. How do you make decisions about what to cover? You know, I've seen you send people out and go cover this and cover that. I'm wondering, how do you make those decisions?
A lot of it has to do with the community and the audience that we serve. So we spend a lot of time thinking about, is this relevant to our listening audience, to our fans, as we like to call them?
Right.
And sometimes when you get into the weeds of national coverage for big stories, for example, the president holds a press conference, not every press conference holds the same weight in information impact. So we make decisions about that. So coverage for news comes in a couple of different ways. One of them, as Mike and I talk about, is do we want to take a press conference in its entirety? Of a 5 to 10 minute press conference, maybe a minute or two at a most is relevant. So those are the pieces that we want to hold on to. But we lose the audience the longer someone's allowed to talk, and we don't want to lose that kind of relevance. So we'll do a technique on the news where we will dip in and out. So we'll listen for a little bit. We'll come back out of it and let our local anchors kind of recap what is happening, give the summary, bring people up to speed. That's a more effective way to provide the messaging to our audience than to just let whoever is going to, you know, provide the press conference information, just allow them carte blanche.
But you don't really know until they say it. So then how do you decide that?
And that's the thing, because sometimes you don't know. Sometimes we just say, hey, we're going to dip in and we're going to feel this out. And you would know as a PIO. I mean, sometimes you have people who get up there and they're really good at doing their job, right? You know that this person is going to give you the details and is giving you great information and will keep everyone in tune to it. And then you have other people, it's like, burr, 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 right? Where it's not so good. So I think sometimes it depends on, are you getting a lot of new information?
Right.
Because if you're getting a lot of new information that your fans don't know, then they're in tune to it. They want to hear. They want to hear more. Sometimes, though, you have reporters who are asking, and rightfully so, because they need the information. They need kind of these minute details. But these aren't questions that the fans need to keep hearing.
Hmm. Now, Mike, you were around when that Christmas parade thing.
Yes.
I don't know. I probably shouldn't say blew up, but you know, happened.
Yeah.
And
talking about Daryl Brooks.
Right. Yeah. And I happened to be on the air that evening on 620, unfortunately. And we went, what, 5 hours?
Yeah.
Of because they kept updating everything and having new stuff and on and on and on. How do you make those types of decisions to cut versus stay on? Because like Tiff said, you know, after a while, it starts getting boring.
Yeah. Well, I think for us, it's how much do people know in the general public? How much do your fans know, your listeners, your viewers, whatever they are? And then how much do the people who are talking know about what's going on? I think what made Waukesha uber compelling, two things. One, it's local, right? It's right down the street. Two, there was a ton of video that people saw right away. Three, the law enforcement that were involved were able to answer questions, and you had that general intrigue. Now, I would say with something like this, again, I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all answer, but you have to look at a couple things. One, how's ESPN nationally put together in the year of our Lord 2025? It might not be the ESPN that we all grew up on and remember, where you had the quote-unquote news people, you know, the Steve Levy's of the world, or the, you know, the reporters who were able to go out and cover sports news.
Who happen to work in sports news.
Who happen to work in sports news, but you're a reporter. When Mike Greenberg's on the air, we don't know anything. Telling Mike Greenberg, you're a talent. If your director of content came in and said, Ken, we want to take this press conference, you would say, why? What are we going to get out of it? Who's talking? You'd want to know. Because it's your time to be on the air. I can imagine with a Mike Greenberg or a Stephen A. Smith who are making gobs and gobs of money, going into them as a producer and saying, hey, we're going to preempt your show, Mike, by the way, to take this press conference. And he goes, for what? Like, what are we going to get out of it? So I think that's one thing to keep in mind, not to defend ESPN's decision to or not to, because it was kind of striking. But I think when I look at it in totality, it's those things. Are you built to be able to cover it well?
Right.
I don't know if they are in 2025.
Now, you know that's what 620 did to me, right? They walked in and said, hey, by the way, we're preempting your show, and we're going to take it, and we're going to put it in.
But we also dedicated the resources.
And it worked out great because Eric showed up, and you know, Denise was there. You showed up. Illinois State, I tell you. So I guess I'm going to ask the sports guy here. Should ESPN have carried the FBI conference live?
I think that they made the best decision for them. When you talk about, again, the audience that they cultivate, people come for that split-second reaction to recap the score of last night's game or obviously the situation that they had to recap. So they come to listen to Stephen A. Smith and Cam Newton and all these other personalities to get their thoughts on the kind of bombshell decision or, I guess, the investigation that is going on. I think that they got more out of it from keeping the personalities and getting their split second thoughts and reactions to it. Obviously now Stephen A is trending because of the comments that he made about Trump, which preempted a response from Cash Patel. So it's kind of full circle for them. They got more out of it when they didn't actually have all the facts or all the information to accurately report on it.
But would they? Like, we don't know because they didn't do it. They may have gotten a bigger hit by virtue of covering it live and then reacting to it at that moment.
Yeah, I just think the time frame was a little too harsh for them or a little bit too quick of a flip. Again,
Or they're just not journalists.
That too. It could be that as well. I think the first people or team that would have had a chance to react to it would have been Evan Cohen and the unsportsmanlike team. They broke the news kind of in the morning and they gave their unbiased thoughts and opinions on it early on. And then it obviously transitioned into Stephen A. Smith. And then once the news conference was able to be digested, they kind of gave more context for the people out there, especially in the media space. Now, people can go anywhere that they want to get a synopsis of a situation like that. I don't think anyone would have benefited or kind of enjoyed sitting through a 15 to 20 minute conference about the 34 people that are obviously facing charges now in this investigation.
But you think the impact that it's going to have on the NBA, you've got literally a player that got arrested. You got a coach that got arrested. How would a journalist handle that? I mean, you know, like Jessica, you like where do we stop digging? Like at some point.
Or first, where do we start? Because as soon as this came down and I realized that there were more than 30 defendants, including 11 states, that's exactly where my mind went, though. 11 states, I'm always going, okay, is Wisconsin one of those states? Is the first thing I thought of. So I'm starting to look, starting to look. And then all of a sudden, you look for that local connection, right? Mm-hmm. With 11 states, there's a likelihood that there is a local connection. And boom, we have it. We have the former Milwaukee Bucks player, Damon Jones, also known as D. Jones, which, by the way, to look at the aliases of some of these guys, it's interesting. Big Bruce, Suga, Juice, Black Tony, Spook, The Wrestler, Spanish G.
And all that came off of what?
Damn.
Wiretaps.
All the alias names. That's
all
how
the
they
alias
figured
names.
Out.
People who called people who, and yeah.
So so that was what I immediately thought. Is there a local connection?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Wisconsin is involved. And Wisconsin is involved in two different ways because now this is interesting, too, because you've got Damon Jones, who in this case, I mean, there's two different schemes here.
Right.
You really have to break it down because there's a lot involved here. But what makes Jones' allegations even more interesting is that he's accused in both of the schemes. So the rigged poker games and the illegal sports betting. And here's where the other Milwaukee connection comes in, because one of the allegations for the illegal sports betting is that while he was involved with the Lakers during the 2022-2023 season, he provided information that wasn't public yet about a very high-profile player, LeBron James, to people so that they could place bets. Specifically, it was before the Bucks-Lakers game. It was February. I don't remember. It was the 9th or the 4th of 2023. But Jones allegedly texted a betting co-conspirator, "Get a big bet on Milwaukee tonight before the information is out."
Wow.
Well, then we would later learn that LeBron James would not play that night. I looked up the score. The Bucks won 115-106. They were on a streak. But so he is accused in the illegal sports betting scheme, and then he's also accused in the rigged poker games. He's involved with, what did they call him? Was it a face card? I think they're calling the celebrities involved in this. But prosecutors say these poker games use cheating devices and technology to defraud gamblers. It's,
wow.
I mean, this is a story, and we've had a couple stories like this week. This is a story that feels like it was ripped right out of the movies.
No. When we come back, I got a question for Tiff and Mike, because I want to know what you would have done if it broke here. Like, who would you send? Why would you send them? How would you make those decisions? All that fun stuff. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Our guests are Tiff Pua, Jessica Tai, Mike Spaulding, Glenn Pierce, all teammates here at Good Karma Brands.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, the Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, the Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. By the way, The Truth is the home of Marquette University High School football. Tonight, the Marquette High Hilltoppers start their road back to the state championship with a first round matchup against Sussex Hamilton Chargers. Kickoff is at 7. Friday Night Football on The Truth is presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. That's pretty much all you get when you call Tiff. Like, you get one call. She's like, no, yes. So we have I guess it's my pop-off panel today, like, because it's pop-off Friday, so I always get upset about something. So this is what I'm upset about. Glenn Pierce, Mike Spaulding, Jessica Tai. Like, tie your shoe.
Ding, ding, ding.
That's the only way I'm going to remember
it. You got it.
And Tiff Pool. So, like, Damon Jones. So now we know that it's Damon Jones. Walk me through this. What do we do next? Like, where do we dig? How do we dig? Or give me one good angle you might follow because of this story.
I always look for where the connections still to this community. Are there people still in communication, still in contact, still have stories that may have been involved, even just on a second or third degree level, right? Because
or lost money
potentially, but it's always there's always a story there somewhere, right? And there's always a personal connection.
Mm-hmm.
So those are things I look for if I'm going to send a reporter out to cover this. It's like, what are we missing? What haven't we seen? What are the questions that, you know, the national media are answering some questions, but if you're part of this community, you've played in this community, you know this community. Yeah. All right, where are the other connections?
And so, Mike, you're the content director, so you got to, you know, basically gatekeep and direct. So if, you know, Wisconsin Morning News is doing this part, then they got to do that part. And how do you keep all that together and keep the story fresh?
Yeah, no, I think it starts, at least on my end, with what don't we know yet? And how do we make those provocative points with bigger picture questions, a la, you know, kind of how did we get here? where do we go next from here? I mean, it's great that there's a, not great, I guess, in this instance, there's a local connection. But for us, it's, to Glenn's point earlier about joining a press conference live or not, a lot of networks joined it. What can we do differently?
Right.
And so what do we do differently? What are our connections at WTMJ? You know, does Jessica know somebody? Is Jessica sports better? You know what I mean? Like those kinds of questions. How can our hosts relate to the questions that our fans are going to have? But I also think alongside with Tiff of like, there's someone that knows somebody, right? And people are always willing to talk. You're a police officer. Someone wants to talk somewhere about something. Well, like if you're doing an investigation, right? Someone out there knows something and wants to be able to share their story.
Right.
But I do think like it's a fair point to raise with a look at how much money, look how in bed these pro sports leagues are with gambling companies. Look how prolific it's become. Oh, by the way, look at some of the efforts by lawmakers in the state of Wisconsin with expanding gambling rights. So there's a lot of ties to the gambling story, and I think this begets a bigger question because do people really care, in big picture, if you're not an NBA fan, that a couple NBA players and a coach got busted for gambling? I Tiff, I'm assuming you probably had never heard of Chauncey Billups before yesterday.
Nope.
And don't really care about right. that. But where I think it is interesting is when you take a look at, what do I know every day? Well, I know I can go on my phone and I can place bets. I know that I see, you know, FanDuel commercials or whatever it is 85 times a game if I'm watching a game. And so what is the long-term impact there? Who
right.
can talk about how we got here and where we're going to be going? So that's how I look at it. And I would also turn to someone like you, like an on-air talent, to go, where are you at on this? I think Jessica brought up a million great points with things that we don't know and questions that maybe we can't answer, but you could have an interesting take on, and just keeping that conversation alive.
So what's the first thing you dig in?
Well, I was just going to say, too, I think even if you don't care about sports at all, there's still intrigue in this.
Yes.
Well,
because, I mean, you think about even just the technology that's involved and the cheating that's involved. Like, right. how do they do this? The X-ray poker table, the right. playing cards that had markers visible only if you were wearing special contacts or sunglasses. Like, where do you get those contacts or sunglasses? The secret signals. I just think all of that is intriguing to people. But when you talk about where to go next, I think of two things. I think of one, it's a long shot, but at some point you need to hear from the accused. Are they likely to talk? No. But can you make the ask? Yes. So what we know now is what prosecutors allege and what
right.
investigators say they uncovered.
Yeah.
But we haven't heard from the people like Damon Jones, who used to play for the Milwaukee Bucks. And then on a totally different level, I think of somebody like talking to Bucks president Peter Fagan just about sports betting, because at some point, and I think there are already conversations happening about reform when it comes to sports betting. And what do they tell their guys?
Wasn't there already reform? They already have
rules
policies in place.
I mean, there's rules, but those rules can easily be broken. We can't sports bet on our phones in the state of Wisconsin, but I could drive to Rockford or Antioch and place a bet. And so, I mean, I think there are guardrails in line, but I think overall reform, yeah, is important.
And just some things that are kind of interesting, too, to take you inside the team. Like, what do they tell the guys when they first enter the NBA? We've talked about that a little bit as far as just, hey, your life is about to change like that.
Right.
I think gambling is a part of that conversation.
So
what you should and shouldn't do.
I got to go back because we've got players going way back as like Michael Jordan and all the issues he had. But I got to ask Glenn. The mafia connection.
Yes.
Nobody has mentioned, like, it's like that part of the story is not there. And I'm wondering why. Like, why aren't we hearing about that?
I think the biggest reason that we don't hear
fear?
About that, I wouldn't say fear. There's a lot of people, again, it's become a popular thing for cappers and bookies to necessarily promote their picks and some of the gambling things that they're choosing.
Right.
And so they obviously have connections or ties to people who might be related to the mafia or even insider info from players or family friends that they know. Again, one of the accused in this hour and in this investigation, Terry Rozier, he's alleged to have texted a friend that he wasn't going to play well that night or that his minutes would have been limited. I'm sure that there were cappers or information that was exchanged. I don't want to go as far as being the mafia, but there's a lot of people who have a stake in this that are getting this information rapidly day to day. Again, the lines are ever so changing. For example, there's people that I know that placed bets yesterday on the football game. If a couple of people are hammering the same bet over and over, the line will change because the sports book don't, or the sports books don't like to lose. Again, in 2023 alone or 2024, the sports betting industry, they garnered $13.7 billion in profit. And that's up $2 billion from 2023. But so there's always a connection or a tie into some of this information that these people get.
So, Tiff, you're sending somebody out, a reporter, to start digging in. We're going to send Jessica. Does the mafia enter into it? You know, you got the poker piece. You got the mafia connected. Is that in the back of your mind when you're going, I'm going to send, or does it matter who you send? You know, we've got a couple spots on the east side where, you know.
When I think about who to send on the story, I want to find the reporter that has the best fit in terms of skill set to be able to ask the right questions.
Okay.
Right? I'm looking for, when I assign stories for my reporters, who has either an interest in this area, is willing to dig into this area a little bit, maybe be a little uncomfortable, but also looking for the ones that ask really good questions in this space. Each of my reporters has a specialty of a kind. It's not that they cover a beat, but they have an affinity for a particular area. They will ask the questions because they have knowledge of this for covering it so long. So it would depend. I would never stop a reporter from covering a story if there are uncomfortable angles. I will only stop them if they come to me personally and say, you know what? I am not personally comfortable talking about this topic area or being in this topic area. And that's okay. Because for their own personal safety, I'm okay with that. But I challenge a reporter. It's like, get out of your comfort zone a little bit and ask questions and be in a topic space that you've never explored before.
With the mafia?
Well, you know what? I actually, to this point, it's know your personnel, right? It's full circle. It's the same reason that ESPN didn't decide to carry this live, because my personnel on the radio or on the TV right now is Cam Newton. And like, do you want the first voice people hear after this event happens to be Cam Newton? I'd always rather be a step behind, but 100% right and sound good doing it, because I think that's what will last. No one's going to remember who had it first. Like, does anyone remember what TV network had it first? No. You just know whether or not they jumped into it. So I think part of it is knowing your personnel. I mean, if there's a young reporter who's going to be digging deep into a police issue or a Fed issue or something involving the mafia, like, they're just not going to have the tools at their disposal to be able to ask the right questions or even to get anywhere. If you've had someone who's been in the business for a couple of decades, they have more connections. They can get off the record conversations. They understand the value of getting information on background and where to follow up. So I think a large part of it has to do with know your personnel so you can best handle that story.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. My guests are Tiff Pua, Jessica Tai, Mike Spaulding, and Glenn Pierce. When we come back, I got a question. What would cause you to drop this story? You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. And, well, that look I just got is exactly why I asked that question.
Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. You can hit the YouTube chat or talk in text line or just call Mike Spaulding.
Just call in. We'd love to have a chat.
Along with Glenn Pierce, Jessica Tai, and Tiff Pua. Somehow I try to change her name around, but it always sounds the same. You know, she's only got like four letters. So, like, what do you do? So, what would you do? And I'm gonna start with Glenn. Something happens, and you're talking about this story every day. Mm-hmm. What would cause you to just drop the story?
I think when we talk about being in the media space and journalism, you have to see the story as far as you can take it. Like Tiff said off air, I think it's our duty and, you know, our right, obviously, to get justice and understanding and answers for the people that we present the information to. I don't think that there's anything that would make me personally drop the story. I don't think that there's any kind of danger that kind of comes with it. I think the truth is always what needs to persevere when you talk about situations like this. Again, a lot of people have false hope. We talk about how much we promote sportsbook gambling and how much it's promoted. It's everywhere on your TV. They also had a viral video that kind of aired on ESPN where they had to remove the ticker because they were leaning into that conversation. But there's so much money and so many dollars that are involved in it. They can't necessarily shy away from it or dog the people that are involved in this investigation.
But I think you have to take it as far as you can. But it's telling the story, dogging the people.
I don't think so. I think they have some type of tie or relationship that obviously has them in this report. The Fed or the, I won't say the feds, but the FBI does not levy any type of investigation or levy any type of accusations unless they have good evidence or it's on good authority that someone has reported something or that they have caught you doing something that is in a way some type of illegal or kind of shoddy. So I think that it's everybody's, or I guess all of the journalists' duty to report what, you know, who's involved in it.
Well, yeah, I think there's something to be said there. The story is going to kind of come to an end eventually. I mean, how many times can you go on the air and say the same thing over and over again if you don't learn anything? Now, I do say the people who have the resources to be able to do that, a ProPublica or something like that, that has the resources to be able to dig over months and find out new information. I think when new stuff comes out, absolutely you want to continue to cover it. But again, something like this, and it's not as serious as you would be talking about war or something like that. Whereas it, to me, it's a sort of a flash in the pan for entities who do what we do,
right,
which is a daily news show. But I think for the entities, for the NBA, certainly for ESPN, people who have the resources and the direction to be able to go and dig and actually get content out of it, I don't think it honestly ever ends. I think the more we get in bed with these gambling companies and these gaming companies, the more often you're going to have stuff like this, and we can learn more. And the next time this happens, because there will be a next time, we have a little bit more background. But I think for us in what we do every day, you have to start to think, what is our audience? What matters to them? Does this really matter? Are we covering up something more important? Are we not talking about something more important because we feel like we have to continue to beat this drum? I don't know, to be perfectly honest with you. But I do know that if new information comes out, certainly people are going to be interested.
But we know it's going to impact more players, mm-hmm. more coaches. I mean, you know, we might be going to the G and the D League to, hey, can y'all come up and play? Because, you know, we got half our team that just went out. We know that this investigation, they started in 2023 because they had so much information that they could not start an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So there are probably thousands of hours of tape of people they could probably charge with 1,000 counts. And they chose this. But now that they're in custody, they're going to start talking. Who knows what's going to happen? But what would make you go, you know what? This is becoming, I don't know, would danger make you stop? Would someone threatening you make you stop? Because we know once you hit the end is over, and then news will trend, and it might come back when somebody gets, you know, convicted. But what would actually you individually, personally, Jessica, what would make you stop covering this show?
Well, was I the one who gave the look when you said that's
yeah,
why I'm
you
asking
gave the
question?
Look like, yeah.
Well, the reason I gave the look because I thought, well, that's an interesting question. What would make me stop covering the story? Because it is such a big story, and really I'm thinking not until it's resolved. And I think anytime there's a new nugget to a big story that people are interested in, I think even the tiniest little news peg can be a reason to bring it back. And it doesn't mean you have to go on and on and on about it, but to bring it back into the spotlight with the new piece of information that people want to know. But I kind of gave a little bit of this during the commercial break here. But, you know, at the end of the day, if I'm really being honest, the only thing I can think of is if you've got this mafia family and I'm out in a parking lot and I'm surrounded by the mafia family with a gun to my head who says, Jessica, you know, you better stop doing that. I mean, unless I've got the wrestler and Big Bruce behind me, maybe I'm like, okay. And then, you know, I rush home and then I text Mike Spaulding and say, listen, da-da-da-da, here's everything I know. Here are my papers.
Wow.
You've got the information. I'm going into hiding. I mean, I'm being a little funny there, but... you cover the story until the end, and I've never been in a position like that.
Nothing's ever scared you where you go, this is starting to get a little weird?
Oh, I've definitely had weird things, for sure. I mean, I've had to call the police on people, but that's a whole nother story. We don't have time for that one.
Wow.
And, I mean, I certainly, especially back in the day when I was a GA reporter and knocking on doors, I mean, there were times where you thought, okay, don't love this.
Yeah.
But that was also a different time.
Wow. Tiff, what's going to make you call that reporter and go, hey, cut it out. Stop it.
If there's no place to move forward, right? We always talk with our reporting team of, okay, the story's in the moment. What are we covering now? How do we move the story forward? And if there's no place new to go, then why are we doing it? right?
So what would be new about this that would make you...
So we're looking for different angles, other people to come out about this. Has the legislation that has come out, have the Supreme Court rulings that have come out around these topics decided to shift? Has the cultural mindset about these ideas shifted? You know, once the court case itself is completed, whatever the resolution of that is going to be, that kind of ends the story in a way. But if there is, like Jessica was saying, if there's a news peg to move it forward, we do. But we're constantly, what Mike and I look at when it comes to our reporting team with our news, because you got to remember, we do news every half hour. So if in a newscast you have five or six, you know, times that you're going to tell this story, what is the way to either provide a different angle, a different perspective that keeps the story interesting for the people who are listening? That's where we're going to go. Once we've bled that dry, pardon the phrase, you know, at some level, there's nothing left to tell. There's nothing, we're not going to manufacture news. Yeah. No, we're going to stop there for sure. But if there's no new perspective, a new angle, then it kind of dies a little bit, which is fine. That doesn't mean it doesn't come back.
Yeah, we learned something new. Then, yeah. I mean, covering to me means maybe off the record, you're texting with the police chief, right? Or you know, someone who works at the Milwaukee FBI, and maybe they have a couple things they want you to see. And so I think covering it holistic, like it's a lot of different things, but as far as talk about it on the air with Tiff, like if we're just, again, reiterating the same thing over and over and over again, like, we're probably going to be done until something new comes out or you find something out.
By the way, though, right now, if you reach out to the Milwaukee FBI, you will get an automated response that says, during the current lapse in appropriations, FBI operations are directed toward national security, violations of federal law, and essential public safety functions, basically meaning...
arresting the NBA.
You're not getting a response right now.
So that's a great angle. Right? Like, that's a great angle. They're not they're doing these things, but yet somehow we have an illegal gambling operation that is now busted. So I think for a talk show host, like, all right, now you got something going there. If that can irritate you a little bit, like, let's take it and let it rip.
You guys can hang for one more segment?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to talk about sources. I don't want any of yours.
We're not going to give them to you anyway.
Okay. Wow. The love.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. My pop-off panel: Glenn Pierce, Mike Spaulding, Jessica Tai, and Tiff Pua. I always want to call her Tia Pua.
Everybody does, and it's not my name.
Really?
It's incredible how many people get that wrong.
So, the YouTube chat said, when we were talking about news and reporting, they said, that probably means that reporting, and tell me if you agree, that probably means that reporting is closer to the actual truth than people want shared.
We make a lot of decisions about what truth is, I think. And that's kind of the challenge of being a reporter today, is what I tell my team is, I don't care that you get it first. I want you to get it right. Mm-hmm. But as you're getting it right, I want you to get all the facts about it, because our fans are really smart. I want you to give them the information so they can make decisions. Our job is not to provide opinion. Our job is provide the information. And you decide what to do with it then.
And when are you going back to journalism school to teach people? Okay, all right.
Remember, I still do that. Remember.
Okay. So, Jessica, is it closer to the truth than people really want to hear? I mean...
I think so, but I come from 20 years in local news.
Right.
I mean, I think people have a different perspective on the media. I put that in quotes.
Right.
And I think things have changed so much over the years. And that's hard for me, because I am very much so... As Tiff said, I'm here to give you the facts, ma'am.
Right.
I mean, that's where I came from. The nice thing about midday is I can throw a little personality in, and I can give you some of my opinions in a way, but I'm not giving you opinions about the facts. But that's who I am, and that's how I grew up in the journalism world. I know you have commentators and other people, but that's just who I am at the heart.
Mike?
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of times... journalists are, I'd say you're right more oftentimes than you're wrong, certainly. And sometimes the truth peters out into being nothing, unfortunately for us. I mean, think about how many times, you know, Tiff or Jessica even, like, doing an investigative piece and you just end up with nothing, because it just doesn't pan out. It doesn't mean that your, doesn't mean your, it's not your true. Hunch wasn't there okay. or whatever. Okay. It just means it just there wasn't anything there. We thought there was going to be something there, and it just wasn't. I look at, not to get too off the rails, but look what the Cap Times has been doing this week with the DPI and the teachers and stuff like that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It doesn't mean that what they're reporting isn't true. It just might not lead to the quote unquote truth that somebody wants it to be. And so it's just so nuanced to Tiff's point that, yeah, you're often more right than you are wrong, obviously. But it just isn't always as exciting as you think it's going to be.
Is that what you want? You want the truth no matter what?
The truth, so help me God.
Come what may.
Yeah, I think so. We talk about it again, being in a position that we're in, we have more resources and more, I guess, leeway than most people do. The only job that we really have is to present the information as it lies and allow for the discourse or allow people to debate. People will still kind of take and grab whatever pieces of information that they need to grab from it. But when it comes to a story like this, again, there's clearly people who have some type of wrongdoing and that they are going to obviously have to come to light. There's going to be an investigation. There's going to be a trial. There's going to be further investigation. And there's going to be more people that will be looped into it. And so the only thing that we can do is cherry pick as it comes. And obviously craft whatever story that needs to be told of this corruption that is going on within the NBA.
That sounds like sports. I don't know, we only have a minute or so. Because would you cherry pick or just present the facts?
Yeah, when he said cherry picked, that wasn't a word. That wasn't a term that I would personally use. Right. But you may be thinking of it in a different way.
Because in sports, you kind of want to give that thing, I guess. And whereas, if I'm doing news, I'm just presenting it in a way that you understand it, and these are the facts, and I'm going to let them stand where they stand.
Yeah. When I say cherry pick, I kind of mean, again, we still have to wait for more information to come out. There's more names that will be revealed. Again, we're only kind of hitting on 2 out of the people, of 34 people that are listed in the investigation. So that's the story that we can kind of tell, but we don't know how all of these people are linked, the locations that they've been at, and everything like that. So we have a small story to tell until the full story can be revealed.
And I guess we'll get that, and I guess we'll be hearing from each and every one of you when we get that information. Well, thank you for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
We may have to do this again.
Sure. Let me know when.
Say we're not far away.
Tiff's like, absolutely, like, really? Really? Get my name right. That's all I want. Tiff Pua, News Director, 620 WTMJ. Jessica Tai, Wisconsin's Midday News.
You got it.
Hey, I got it right.
Noon to 3.
Mike Spaulding, Redbird. That's all you really need to know.
That's all you need to know.
And Glenn Pierce. Thank you all for being here. I appreciate it. I don't know what it's going to turn into, but I'm pretty sure. How many names was it? 34?
34 to start.
It'll probably end up being about 54. That's the rumor. I'm just saying. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Top 5 at 5 up next.
And that's the truth.
This is 101.7 The Truth's Kyle Wallace, and the time is now, Milwaukee. Truth to Power is your platform. And on my show, our community always has a voice. There is no topic that is off limits, and I always give you my authentic opinions on how I feel because...